This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Attention, 97.3 The Fan listeners. If you're drowsy, sluggish, or feeling fatigued, you're about to get your afternoon boost. With Tony Quinn Jr.
You know, people like to be outraged.
Chris Ello.
I'm not a foo-foo guy.
And Matt Scraby.
See, I like Paul Skeens, the baseball player. Hate the media coverage.
Don't blame us for any side effects.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Gwen and Chris are ready to go.
Rob Manfred will never hear the end of it on this program, unfortunately for Rob. I think it's your turn. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your 5 o'clock.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. It is my turn. 5 o'clock on the Dow. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Frank Marchese sitting in for the well-traveled Matt Scraby, who is at Wrigley as we speak. He's he's not having a beer. I know that.
No.
He's probably...
he's having a dog.
Dog?
He's sitting out in the bleachers. He's going to be Ferris Bueller today. He's going to catch a foul ball, and the camera's going to zoom in on him. I feel it.
There's a part of me that wish I would have known the rager of Scraby, you know, in his other state.
There's Scraby?
There's a piece of me that wish I had met that version.
We've seen a bit of that version, even when he's not drinking.
Have we?
When he loses his cool and he storms out of the studio during a game of the Fantabulous show.
We definitely see it a little bit.
He almost
got
in the elevator last week and took himself downstairs. He was so upset.
This reminds me, I got beat by Adam, didn't I?
But that was not even
non-sports,
a sports game show.
Non-sports. Resetting, the Padres did take 2 of 3 from the tough
the feisty Rockies.
Colorado Rockies. After sweeping the Dodgers at home, it was a successful homestand, 4-1. This team goes
after
7-2 on a
beautiful
road trip that had the Guardians, the Nationals, and the Orioles.
Yeah.
So Padres playing some good baseball. They'll take on Pittsburgh for 3. Dylan Cease on the hill tomorrow versus Bailey Falter.
Falter hasn't been bad.
No, he hasn't. 5-7, 3.95 ERA.
ERA is not bad. Whip's pretty good. But Padres should be able to handle anybody and anything right about now.
You know what I like about the Padres? They have a pretty set left-handed, right-handed lineup. Mm-hmm. You can almost, like yesterday, I guessed the lineup.
Yeah.
And I got it right. I just had to, obviously, you just had to flip-flop Camposano and Higashioka yesterday, but...
How about Higashioka? How about this guy?
Man.
I mean, he hit another homer yesterday. He kind of forgot about it. I don't know why he'd forget about it. It put him ahead to stay.
Yep.
Profar homered as well, but yeah, Profar is one thing. He's on his own, you know, arc. And, you know, the all-star team and all that. And, you know, he's going to get some MVP votes, I think Profar is. I really do. I think he's going to finish in the top 10 if it were to, you know, even, who was it? Was it our guy Matt Snyder that had him, like, as high as in the running
second.
For second or third?
So it's probably, it's a fair,
so,
fair
you know,
spot for him.
Profar's had his own thing. But Higashioka, he came here really... as a afterthought. I know that people don't look at it that way, but the trade, you know, Soto to the Yankees basically was for pitchers. And, oh, by the way, we'll give you a backup catcher, somebody that can, you know, back up Camposano, play once in a while, and not get in the way. He's a good team guy. You know, he's a good glue.
Right.
He's a good clubhouse guy. He'll come in there. He won't make any waves. He'll be your backup catcher. And you won't hear from him again. He'll do a good job. kind of worked out a little differently than that.
It always does, though.
I mean, this guy has, he has more home runs in the last 2 months or 2.5 months than any other catcher in baseball.
Chris,
it's not just that he's surprised, he's beating out everybody.
It seems like it always happens that way.
Unbelievable.
It never is what it seems. I mean, that's really a lot of this Padre team. We came into the season not knowing about center, not knowing about left, not knowing about the back end of the rotation, not knowing how first or second was going to play out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your season begins and it gets going, and almost all of those have been addressed or answered by the whatever the Padres have put there. And so it's not surprising. I mean, Kyle is indicative of what we've seen almost all year offensively, which is on any given day, it could be anybody. In any given couple of weeks span, it could be anybody that's carrying a load. Higashioka did that for a while. He was
unreal. He was batting ninth and doing this. Yeah. He's hit 11 of his home runs batting ninth. Name a National League catcher with more home runs than him. Can only name one because there's only one.
Ryomoto, who is it?
Will Smith has 15. Higashioka, Contreras, and Stevenson of the Reds, 13. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. Yeah.
One guy in the league has more home runs than him.
How about hitting on that spot back to back years? You get Gary Sanchez in like May.
Yeah.
And he came in and really rejuvenized the catching position. And now he faltered off towards the end, but to have stretches the way that the Padres have had out of that position the last 2 years, some good luck there.
Higashioka is two home runs behind Will Smith for the NL lead among catchers. Will Smith has 200 more at-bats than he does.
Yeah.
And only two more homers. I mean, it's just one thing after another. That's why they got to take advantage of this, Tony, right? They got to do it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, they put themselves in a position now. So many good things have happened. They got to pull through, and it looked like they're on their way to doing that. So
they are. I mean, and that's just the offensive side. I mean, he's gotten better in terms of throwing runners out. I mean, he's had to contend with a knuckleballer, which no one else is having to do with.
You know, did you watch the same game that I do? Yes, I know you did. Why doesn't every team, and I think I know the answer, but why doesn't every team run wild on Waldron? He's got a knuckleball that the catcher can't catch. All you have to do is walk to second base.
The problem is...
Tell us.
The problem is, A, Matt Waldron has extremely quick feet.
Yeah.
So guys don't get off. But he also does a terrific job of changing up his rhythm. He never keeps the same rhythm. And unlike a lot of knuckleballers that we've seen in the past, you can't depend that you're getting a knuckleball.
He may throw a quick slider fastball in there, and then you're going to be thrown out by 5 feet.
I think the team that tried to take advantage of Waldron was the Nationals, if I'm not mistaken, when they came here.
Yeah.
And had a bunch of people thrown out. And so,
I mean, teams are getting on base, and I'm looking at, you got to go. Guy's got the knuckleball. The catcher can't catch the ball.
They're not going.
And nobody goes anywhere.
Nuh-uh.
Waldron, he's another one. I mean, it's been a fun season.
Yeah, no, these guys, everywhere on the field, they just are doing a job. Ha-Sung has not had the greatest offensive year. He's had taken a step. I don't want to say he's taken a step back from where he was last year, but still finding his way on bases, still finding make a play defensively.
Made a good one yesterday. With a couple guys on, backhanded a hot shot.
Yeah, he did.
Bogaerts is hitting about .500 since he's come back.
His swing looks completely different right now.
Right, Manny. Warming up, Cronenworth, hot and cold, but Cronenworth is a guy that I want up there when it matters.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't always come through. Nobody always comes through. Baseball, you only have 30% success rate. But Cronenworth's a guy I want up there. And we've already talked about Profar and Merrill.
You know,
now even Higashioka and David Peralta's coming through.
You know, to
Solano.
To your point, right? The Padres have, at different times of year, had the bottom of the lineup get things rolling in the top of the lineup. Yesterday, that was indicative of a really strong top part of the lineup. And you move Arise out there because he got like a bloop single late in his last at bat, but Profar 2-for-4, 3 runs, a double, a homer. Jake 2-for-4, 2 doubles, 2 RBIs. Manny 2-for-4, a double, 2 RBIs. Bogey 2-for-4, 2 runs scored. Jackson 1-for-3, a double, a walk, a run scored. Peralta, I mean, you just keep going down the list, man, and that is that's a good offense. This team leads the team in, leads the National League in batting average.
Yes, they did.
They lead the National League in hits. They're like third in runs. I mean, this team, you don't get those kind of numbers, and you're not sitting in those type of places unless there's some consistency with your ball club. And I know we talked a lot about the ups and downs, but a lot of times it wasn't the offense. I mean, we had some moments where they sputter out, they don't score runs, but for the most of the season, the offense has been able to hold it down. And the pitching, quite frankly, without their two starters for most of this season, has been phenomenal.
Would you have bet at the beginning of the season anyone, Padres will have the best batting average
No.
in all of Major League Baseball?
No.
Like,
No.
really? You would
No.
have thought of that?
No.
Nobody would have thought of that.
I don't know when the last time the Padres have... I don't know
ever?
If they've ever led...
Don't forget, Petco Park is a, quote, graveyard for hitters. They play half their games there.
You know what changed? Their approach. That's what changed. They are not trying... It's a graveyard if you're trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. You know what it's not? It is a great place to hit if you are a line drive type of
plenty
hitter.
Of openings.
And that, the Padres have taken advantage of that all season long.
Let me ask you another question, Tony, while I have you. Last week, we sang the praises of Ruben Niebla.
Yes.
Isn't it time
yes.
we mention the hitting
yes.
coach?
Victor Rodriguez.
Instead of firing the guy?
We should have been.
Because we fire every pitching coach we've ever had.
And every hitting coach that we ever had.
I mean, that's what I mean, hitting
yeah.
coach that we've ever had. Every
yeah.
hitting coach, we just shoo them, you know, we boot them. We practically drive up in a limo to drive them out of town. This guy's got us leading the league in hitting. I couldn't even have barely named his name.
I got a chance to talk to him like the first day I got to spring. And
Victor Rodriguez, yeah.
He proceeded to kind of give his idea of what he wanted from the team, and he started this during the offseason. And he talked a lot about staying in the middle of the field and not, you know, you want to drive the baseball, but that is not going to be where it ends for you. With the approach and staying up the middle of the field and trying to hit the ball hard on a line has been, I think, a big reason for why these guys have played as well as they have. I mean, Manny in particular here in the second half, I can't remember the last time I seen him pull a ball to the left side of second base. Everything has been up the middle, right center. Even the homers have been that way. He had a homer the other day where he on the pull side, but a lot of his hits are coming up the middle. All these guys' hits are coming up the middle.
Can we say another thing that we're not supposed to want to do when we are on offense anymore in baseball? Because the analytic people would go crazy. How about the fact that the Padres have struck out the fewest of any team in baseball?
Yep.
Analytics says... Doesn't matter. Strikeouts, who cares?
You got to strike out to get the
slug. How about you hit the ball and you hit line drives? You can do all right.
The Padres, I think, have shown that putting the ball in play has value.
There has to be some value to it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm too old to just totally give in to analytics and say it doesn't matter if I strike out.
When you bring up, you know, least strikeout, the least in Major League Baseball. I always
they're
think
tied
about,
with the Royals for those, by the way, that are keeping you
but,
know
that's
official
a great,
numbers.
Look where the
this.
Royals are at this year, though.
Yeah, no, they're tied.
They're, the Royals are a team that's competing in the AL Central with some really good teams.
The Guardians are in the top five. The Astros, some of these.
That's what
good
I was going
to
say. The Astros, the first year they won it, they went from the most strikeouts the year before to the least amount the following year, and they won a World Series. Now, I'm not saying that's the end all be all. They had some really good players, right? I mean, they had Verlander, they had Cole, they had a bunch of guys. But offensively, they took that next step when they stopped punching out. A punch out gives you nothing.
Deflates me every time.
It gives you nothing.
The analytic people cheer it.
You don't
know,
even,
like, oh, good. It's
a
strikeout.
You don't even force the defense to do their job. They get off scot-free. They don't have to do anything. You've done the job for them.
You're preaching.
At least if you put the ball in play, everybody's got to do their job.
You're preaching to me. I love it. I love to see them hitting the ball, and they got the top average and the least strikeouts.
Love it.
And analytics say it doesn't matter. I say it matters. Padres offensively have been something to deal with all year long.
All year long. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, how about a baseball potpourri?
I like it.
I like it. I hope you like it because you're leading.
That's what we're doing.
More Gwynn and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. 5:22 is the time. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tomorrow we'll have a very short program. Be about a half an hour. That'll be ahead of Padre baseball. Padres are in Pittsburgh tomorrow. Take on the Pirates. Tony Gwynn Jr. is not going to be on this road trip. Padres will have to make do without him. But we are lucky to have him in here today with us, of course. Frank Marchese sitting in for Matt Scraby, who's at Wrigley Field tonight and posting photos all over the place if you want to see Scraby's trip to Wrigley. Big Frank is sitting in and letting us know that Sean Manaea has just joined who? Tom Seaver and
Dwight Gooden.
Pretty good company.
Only starters in Met history to pitch 7-plus innings, get 10-plus strikeouts, and allow no runs in two consecutive
starts. Back-to-back starts.
Yes.
Manaea did that today also against the Cardinals, a game that the Mets, at last check, were leading 6-0. And appear on their way to a victory over the Cardinals. It's a makeup day. We're going to do some baseball potpourri, but let's start with this. I'll ask you, Frank, and I'll ask everybody out there listening.
Uh-oh.
The only person not eligible to answer this question is Tony Gwynn Jr.
I think I know where he's going with this.
Do you know what tomorrow is, anybody out there, as it pertains to Padre baseball? As it pertains to the greatness of Padre baseball.
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday and a greatness of Padre baseball.
The greatness of Padre baseball. But when you say greatness of Padre baseball, you almost always are referring to Tony's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow is this is amazing to me because we all know where we were. Tomorrow is the 25th anniversary. 25th of his 3,000th hit. Came on August 6th, 1999. I was home.
Me too.
Watching. You were home. You didn't make the trip. You didn't get to make the trip. Yeah.
It's actually where the story is kind of about a little bit on. If you go to.
Yeah, I'm looking at MLB.com right here. Sean O'Neill wrote the story. Yeah.
You know, so. I didn't get so my dad went to the Padres went
you were
to,
in St. Louis they went for to, that
yes,
trip.
Yes, they went to St. Louis and Montreal. They were the connected road trip.
Right.
Somewhere before we left San Diego, my dad had in his own head kind of calculated like this is going to happen either in St. Louis or Montreal. Now,
right.
In 1999 I was going it was the summer of my junior year. I was going to be a senior. I got earlier in that month, I got invited to area code tryouts. I ended up making it. So
that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so my dad, this was the very first time in my life that I was like, all right, I'm going to lock in on baseball and I'm just going to work baseball. Prior to that, and even a little bit after that, I wanted to play basketball. So my dad was like, hey, you're going to stay with me. You're going to travel with me. We're going to get prepared for this area code game. Meanwhile, he's chasing 3,000. I think in some ways it gave him something to kind of take his mind off of it a little bit.
You were his...
it's like his little project right now.
Yes,
you know?
You were kind of his way to not think about it always.
And so we proceeded all summer to work towards area code game, and we got to the trip. And mind you, we had a bunch of family and friends all fly to St. Louis because my dad obviously wanted to do it there, not just because... It's St. Louis, which is a much better place to probably do it than Montreal at the time. But
right.
Meanwhile, Mark McGwire is also chasing 500 at this time. So I think in his mind, he wanted to do it in St. Louis and have it kind of all come together. All of his family and friends get to see it.
Right.
And in the article, you'll get a chance, if you guys go get a chance to read it. It's probably the first time I ever noticed and people around my dad ever noticed the weight of the situation actually affecting him.
It got to him a little bit.
He went 0 for the first day. I think he went 1 for 5 the second day. And then he went 2 for 5 the last day, which kept him one hit shy of 3,000. So I had to fly out that night. The rest of my family went on to Montreal. I had to get ready to come home to drive to Long Beach for Saturday's area code
games. So you could
games.
Not be there.
Yes. And so I couldn't be there. But it was the first time I ever seen him look like it was a lot. It was the only time I ever seen him look like...
Thank this. God he got it. Yeah.
I wasn't there, but I can imagine once he got that hit, it was like
a burden.
It was like, oh, I can go back to regular life. As you guys know, my dad was not a fan of...
He didn't like the foo-foo.
That's why he hated opening day. Yeah. He loved the real opening day, which was the second game of the season because all the real fans showed up, he said.
Yeah.
But it's a good article. You get a chance to go read it.
It's on MLB.com.
Trip down memory lane.
MLB.com. Sean O'Neill is a good writer from San Diego. Wrote the article. Tony Jr.'s quoted in it often, but tomorrow, 25-year anniversary, and just for fun, it's also the 31st anniversary of his 2000th hit.
Would be my grandmother's.
He did them both on the same date.
My late grandmother's birthday would be tomorrow, which he got those hits on those days.
Incredible.
One last thing. Shout out to my oldest daughter, Michaela. While we're talking about the area codes, you know, she took her first official visit today.
All right.
At Cal State Fullerton.
We are all living our lives vicariously through Michaela right now.
Shout out to my oldest daughter.
Embarking
on
a
nice,
star.
Fun journey right
She's
going
to be a star. What did she think of Trinity Rodman's goal the other day?
Oh, they loved it. I must have watched it 85,000 times now. Because
that was a hell
of
a shot.
It was.
Hell of a shot. All right. I don't really know. Are there any other MLB notes that I got to get to that are as good as that one, Frank?
Paul Skeens, I'll give you a nothing going to be as good as that one. But they are going to start monitoring my man's innings. He's, you know, this is the way of life now.
If Scraby was here, he would go, one more reason that Jackson Merrill should be the rookie of the year.
I agree with him. Honestly, I agree with him, too.
I'm just jumping in there for
the
Scraby.
Record, I think we all agree.
Yes, we all agree.
But
we just don't scream it every 5 minutes.
No doubt.
Thank you, by the way, to all the people on Twitter who have given me incredible engagement numbers for those two tweets I've put out about Merrill that should be over the rookie of the year over Stevens.
I think it should be that way too. But you just got to know how these things.
You got to prepare yourself,
right?
We've seen this one.
We've seen this story, I think, a couple times at this point.
I hope he gets it. And, man, he's still got a very good shot at it. I mean, there's 2 months to go in the season.
Paul Skeens didn't look like himself yesterday. I will say that. So, right. I mean, he could start to tail off.
Come back
and
to
it'll open the door for my man Jackson.
A little bit. Wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings, Mr. Skeens, because we like Jackson around here. All right, we'll take a break. We might finish up with some phone calls.
Yeah. 833.
Tony says we can do it.
288.
0973. So call us if you want to share any memories of where were you 25 years ago tomorrow. 3,000th hit for Tony Gwynn Sr. was the anniversary. That kind of gets everybody to take a moment and go, wow, bunch of time has gone by. More Gwynn and Chris coming up.
Smith is ready. Gwynn waiting to pitch. There's a drive, right center field, base hit, and there it is! Ho-ho, doctor! You can hang a star on that, baby! A star for the ages for Tony Gwynn, number 3,000!
That was Jerry Coleman.
Oh, yes.
And his 3,000 hit call for my father.
You got an old doctor in there.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it wouldn't have been a Jerry call if he didn't get an old doctor
in there.
25th anniversary of that hit tomorrow, and that's why it has come up. I did sat down with Sean O'Neill yesterday. It was funny. We started talking a little bit, and you know, we often find ourselves talking about the media today. And you know, the conversation came up yesterday, and I was telling him as a kid, I used to sit with my dad, and even on days he wasn't in the best mood, right? He'd make the reporters work for it a little bit, and then, you know, he'd have a conversation. And a lot of times, that is where I think a lot of the beat reporters and even some of the national guys, they'd get a chance to be educated about the game in a way that I don't think the new media really has the opportunity to. And for many reasons. I think players are more guarded now because of social media. They don't trust the media hasn't done the best job of garnering trust from players. But I also think players are reluctant to give up those tidbits. I mean, it wasn't just my dad. It was, you know, across the league from Kirby Puckett to my dad to Ozzy. I mean, all those players in the 80s and 90s, they like to sit in their lockers and conversate with the reporters. And I think what ended up happening is there's a better rapport, right? Those reporters can do their job a little bit better because there's a little bit of trust there. And, you know, some of the questions that get ridiculed a lot by, I don't think they were asked as much then because they had the chance, Chris, to kind of sit down and be educated in things, some of the things they didn't necessarily know about the game.
There was also fewer reporters, and they were dedicated to the team, the ones that were there.
Yeah.
So they had a chance to get to know these guys a lot better than I think reporters do now. We have AJ Cassavell, we have Kevin, you know, AC, we have Dennis Lynn. Other than that, everybody's kind of in and out of that locker room. You know, Sammy does a great job being in there. I know Annie does and many others. But I think back in the day, it was a little closer relationship. And one thing that always bothered me about your dad was not his fault. It was my own thing. But I didn't like the fact that he was so nice to everybody because I knew he would be nice to me because I knew him.
Right.
So I was hoping I'd have a little advantage on everybody.
No advantage.
He was nice to everybody.
He wasn't nice to me.
Well, that's your wrong colors, Frank.
Frank, go ahead and tell that story.
So it was my first game at Petco Park, probably like 2008 or so. Mets, Padres. I've got my Met uniform on because, you know, I'm me. And I walk up to that little walkway that's in front of the booths, and I've got a handful of cards in my pocket to try to get Keith Hernandez or Ron Darling to sign, whoever's there. Ended up being Keith Hernandez. And the usher was like, you can't, you don't have a ticket. You can't be here. But then he realized what I was doing. And he's like, all right, let's walk you over this way.
See if I can get you in range.
Yeah. Then he got Tony's attention. He's like, Tony, would you mind signing this kid's ticket? Nope. Wrong colors.
That's right.
I told
he had
Frank
to have a couple of rules, otherwise he would have signed an autograph every minute of his life.
He did sign the ticket eventually, but he did give me some guff for it.
It was notorious for A, if you had a wrong the opposite team stuff.
Yeah.
You better be a kid or he definitely isn't signing it. The other thing was he liked to make you work for it. He was gonna bust your chops, as he used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could take it, then he'd end up signing it most of the time, if not all the time.
I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember seeing him sitting there filling out the scorecard. Funny enough, in a booth that I've been in, and I could sit in that exact spot. But I remember it like it was yesterday. Nope, wrong colors.
Meeting Tony Gwynn Sr. is a highlight for a lot of people,
nope.
And that is because of Tony Gwynn Sr.
Oh, man.
He's just that kind of guy. All right, 833-288-0973. Anybody wants to get in? Tony's 25th anniversary of that 3,000th hit.
Where were you?
Is tomorrow. Dexter, are you there? Our good friend Dexter in Spring Valley. Hi, Dexter. How's it going, buddy?
Good. I want to kind of go off the beaten path a little bit first and say that I wanted to help you guys with your Olympic knowledge.
Oh, we need it.
Okay. So you
to come in and
give us some tips here. Dexter's always going to be there.
Yeah. But see, this ties into Tony Sr. in a way.
Okay.
Because it's about basketball.
Give it to us.
Okay, so y'all were talking about, like, why the 3x3 basketball doesn't have, like, NBA players like Kawhi and all that.
Well, we later found out that you got to be in a league in the men's side, at least, to participate. We did read that.
Yeah, it's actually both sides.
Okay.
And it has to be a FIBA-sanctioned league. And how I learned this was this weekend when I was watching... I think it was on one of the side channels, you know, USA or CNBC or whatever. They were showing a 3x3, and they were talking about talking about it, and they said, "Yeah, how come, you know, the guys who didn't make the cut aren't here?" And they, you know, they had the same conversation, and they actually spoke with an official from the U.S., of course, who is, I guess, our FIBA rep, and he talked about why that is, and it just basically said that's why. And the guys that are on the 3x3 team for the U.S., they're the quote-unquote all-stars of 3x3 FIBA-sanctioned basketball. I don't know what that means, but...
Yeah, none of them. They're not as good as the Netherlands guys. We know that.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, I can't believe that it's only been 25 years since that 3,000th hit, because I remember being in L.A., sitting in a room watching, I think it was a... I forgot who was playing the Dodgers that day. And then they interrupted the game because I think the Pods are playing in Montreal.
Yeah.
And Senior hit the ball, made that 3,000th. Excuse me. And the next thing I know, you know, everybody in the room who were Dodger fans turned and looked at me. And I'm like screaming like a maniac. And then they go, We're going back to Dodgers baseball, and then they turned around and gave me the business. this is back in the day when the Padres were. I mean, Tony Senior was pretty much the highlight of the team.
You could say it; they weren't very good.
'98 they'd been to the World Series. This was the next year, but
yeah,
they weren't
so
great.
It was just kind of an irony that I happened to be amongst the sea of Dodger fans. Watching at a friend's house, seeing that and being the only Padre fan, when they interrupted the game just for that. But they did. This is that thing, though. It was an L.A. game, and they interrupted it because that's how significant that hit was.
Yeah, no doubt. That's good to know.
Thank you, Dexter, for
sharing.
Always
good to talk to you, Dex. Thanks.
And correcting us. You're welcome. Yeah, no, I mean, if you can't be there in person, I would say that's probably the next best place to be, around a bunch of Dodger fans.
Be a bunch of Dodger fans. You can rub it into those guys.
Yeah.
Is that the only 3,000th hit a Padre has ever gotten? Yes and no. So. Ricky Henderson got his 3,000th as a Padre, too. Even though he had most of them elsewhere, he did get his 3,000th as a Padre.
He got the 3,000th as a Padre?
And it was in your dad's last game.
Yeah.
Think of all he broke crazy the, things.
Think he broke the runs record in that same series?
Yeah. Ricky Henderson had his 3,000th as a Padre, too. But still, they've been playing baseball 125 years, legit. 33 guys.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's still pretty darn good.
And we might be, I mean, outside of Manny having an outside chance.
Who's close?
There ain't
active.
Anybody that's going to come anywhere near it.
It's going to be a while.
For a while. Because you either got to have a bunch of 200 hit seasons, or you got to play a long time and get close to 200 hits in all of those seasons.
15 straight years of 200 hits would get you there. Freddie Freeman is the active leader, 22-23. Needs 800 more.
How old is Freddie?
34. Altuve is next. He's also 34. Manny's sixth on that list, but Manny needs over 1,000 still, and he's 31 years old. Good boy. Yeah, I think it's going to be a while.
We got a lot. It's going to be a long time, especially when you look at the style of hitting now.
We talked about it last segment. Nobody even wants to go for hits. They want to hit home runs. So. It's crazy.
833-288-0973 if you want to get in on the...
Charlie Blackmon is in the top 10 of active hit leaders.
He's got a lot of hits against the Padres.
I was
going to
say, 1767 of them against the Padres. Finally got him out of this series, though, this weekend. That was kind of a scary one. What? When he got hit with the ball, running up the line. That's when you can get hurt, when you're not expecting to get hit.
I tell you what, and his eyes swelled up quick. I mean, it was almost shut by the time they made the decision to take him out of the game. So,
however
5 minutes he was on the field, that bad boy almost was shut closed by the time he got off the field.
Not good. You know, Frank was talking about another aspect, and we've talked about this before, but talked about another aspect of your dad's 3,000th hit. It's just funny to hear Frank say it. Because Frank doesn't
know, right?
Frank goes, "God, look at that, man. The umpire went over and shook his hand. That's kind of weird."
That was the wildest part today.
Tony and I are immediately like, "That's his teammate."
Yeah.
Kerwin Danley was
Aztec
his teammate.
For life.
Kerwin Danley, I don't understand this. Maybe you can explain it to me, T. First team All-American, Kerwin Danley. Not just third team, fourth team. First team All-American didn't get drafted. How does that happen? They draft 7,000 players. How could you not? Somebody throw him a bone. He was first team All-American.
That's a good question.
At San Diego State.
He was a heck of a ball player, but he turned out to be a heck of an umpire, too.
No, he did a great job as an umpire.
Got to the big leagues.
Yeah. He had a long...
Long career. And it would have been longer had he not had those concussions that he had multiple years, I think.
But that's just my point. Could you imagine, C.B. Buckner going up and giving, Jose Altuve a
pass for
2,500 hits?
Of course not.
I would bet
in today's climate, Kerwin might not have done that. He might not have gone to... shake his hand in that moment. He might have waited till after the game and done it behind closed doors because the scrutiny now is is the umpire on the take? He's shaking his hands over there.
Yeah. I was glad he did it because I was in on it, and I know you were in it, and all of us Aztecs were in on it. We all knew what was going on there.
Yeah.
It was okay with me.
Pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it was great.
Padres back in action again tomorrow. We've talked a little bit about it. Dylan Cease returns to the mound. He wasn't no-hit Dylan Cease his last time out. But
no, he was terrible. Three hits.
He was pretty good still.
Yeah, he was weak.
It's what happens when you go, three starts and you give up two hits in total, and then you give up three in one start. And then people might start looking at you a little
Dylan
sideways.
Dylan Cease, he's as good as anyone pitching right now. How did this guy lose eight games? right? He's 10-8.
We saw him. Like we this. Actually saw, I think we beat him last year at the end of the season. He didn't look as good as he looks right now.
No.
And, you know, playing for the White Sox might have something to do with that. You show up to the field and you don't have much of a chance to win. It seemed like there was a lot of drama going on there. I tell you, when he came over, he just seemed like he was relieved to get out of wherever he was beforehand. And I constantly, every time I see Dylan, I constantly think about Steven Wilson and how close he was to
going to Korea.
Going to Korea.
And now he's pitching for the White Sox tonight, trying to keep from losing a 21st game in a row.
Poor guy.
ESPN ranked 5 wild card teams, or 6, I guess, in the National League. Pirates are the least likely of that group. Cardinals, Braves are 4th least likely. Everyone's giving up on the Braves. I still think it's a little too early. Matt Olson could wake up or somebody.
I think he has started to wake up anyway.
They still got, you know, Ozuna crushing the ball. Mets are the 3rd. Padres are the 2nd most likely to make it. The Diamondbacks, they say, are most likely to make it.
Guardians have come back to take the lead over the Diamondbacks.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Arizona.
They still got 2 more innings. These two teams they play 9 innings too.
Right.
They don't cut it off. But Guardians are leading 5-4 as we speak.
I see. Well, let's see. Padres are ahead of the Diamondbacks by 1/2 game.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks were to win that game, they'd have the exact same record as Arizona.
No one. Mets won 6-0. They're another team in that kind of field. We talked about that. That's really it. There's only 9 games going today.
It's a quiet night in the big leagues. Is Rob there?
I believe he is there, and I also believe we need to do traffic as well.
Well, let's do traffic, then we'll hit Ron. As advertised, Ron in Mission Valley. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ron.
I got something that kind of ties in with that you might appreciate, Chris. I was it was the first day of recovery for me of torn labrum that I had from playing softball. And the first day after my surgery on that was when I got to listen to Tony get his 3,000th. And that was also the same time I had to learn to throw my dice left-handed when playing Strat-O-Matic baseball.
There you go. Very good.
That's good stuff. How I know the 1927 Yankees lineup by heart, their averages, and I mean, that's a great game. But
that
you
is
know
a
what?
Great
I'm in and out of my I'm in and out of my car all day, and I caught part of that episode. Was Scrabble on that board game list?
I made mine. We did a list of our top board games on Friday. Scrabble was my number 5
Scrabble
board game.
Scrabble was also one of the top 20 ever in terms of sales. So, yeah, that was
Scrabble
one of the
lists. Scrabble did get a mention, yes, Wayne.
Wow. Okay, cool. Because I didn't hear it when the parts that I got to hear.
Anyway, your labrum, as your labrum call. Come around now, this was 1999, so I assume you're okay?
Yeah, no. You know what? I was able to play until I was about 65, but then they kind of sissified the game with, like, a safe bases at first and home and everything, and I gave up the game. But now that shoulder starting to bother me.
Wow. Ice it, Wayne.
But, hey, I'm 70 years old. I can't ask for more.
That's a long
Very
run.
Very good, Wayne.
Nice work, Wayne.
Very good.
Don,
appreciate your call.
Don, but okay.
I'm sorry, Ron. Why did we call him Wayne?
You said Wayne, so I called him
Wayne like 3 times.
Thank
Ron,
you,
I'm
Ron.
So sorry. We had a Wayne earlier. I tell you, I'm amazed I made it through this show, but based on where I came from at the beginning.
You got 15 seconds left.
That's... I
got
to make 15 more seconds. Well, Tony, have a good week.
Thank you,
sir. You got a little break here. Get yourself ready for the stretch drive of the season. Mr. Frank? Outstanding
way to
job.
Drive. Way to drive.
Thank well
you.
Done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. I think Adam's going to come back in tomorrow, but we have a very short show tomorrow, so be here at 2:00 sharp. It'll be Scraby's last day idle tomorrow, but we'll make it through for a little while ahead of the Padre pregame show. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night, everyone. And I think it's actually Tony's supposed to say goodbye, and I'm stealing his thunder.
It's all right.
So
you guys have a lovely, lovely week.
Peace out. Yay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.